From Dublin, Texas, Pastor Mike Fritcher and the Cottonwood family would like to welcome you this morning to Living on Every Word.
Discover what God might have in store. Do you hunger in your soul for something more? Living on Every Word.
But as for me, I trust in Thee, O Lord. There may be grief, there may be distress, there may be anxiety, there may be all these things coming against me. But I'm going to do this. One thing, he says, I'm going to put my trust in God. In you, O Lord, I trust. And I'm going to say this, you are my God, and my times, this very season, is in your hands.
Living on every word.
Living on every word.
I just ask, Lord, that you would just settle upon this moment. And that, Father God, that as we open the Word, it would come to life to us. And Father, that we would see like we've never seen before. That we would hear like we've never heard. It'd be so clear, Lord, that you have such a clear Word for every single person here. Every man, every woman, every son, every daughter. Lord, I ask in Jesus' name, Lord, that it would just come to life to us today. And that we'd be forever changed by this Word. I want to thank you, Lord, for how you reveal yourself to us. And we pray, Lord, come, Holy Spirit, reveal your truth into our lives today. Speak it into every life here. That, Father, that you would speak to every situation. Father, I thank you that you're able to do that today. That you're able to take this word and speak it to every single situation in our lives. In every situation, Lord, I pray that we would come with such hungry hearts, Lord, just to hear the word, implant it, that will give life to us today. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. If you have your Bibles, turn to Psalm chapter 31. Psalm chapter 31. You know, I think about all the seasons that we go through in life. And one of the things that I noticed in Psalm 31 this week is that God says that the times that you go through and the seasons that you have are in His hands. I want you to notice this with me. Look at verse 9, and look at the season that David was going through. He says, "Be gracious to me, O God, for I'm in distress. My eye is wasted away from grief, my soul and my body also. My life is spent with sorrow, my years with sighing. My strength has failed because of my iniquity, and my body has wasted away. Because of all my adversaries, I've become a reproach, especially to my neighbors. I've been an object of dread to my acquaintances. And those who see me in the street, they flee from me. And I am forgotten as a dead man, out of mind. I am like a broken vessel. And I've heard the slander of many and terrors on every side. And while they took counsel together against me, they schemed to take my life." What a bad season, wouldn't you say? And I think about the season I've been in. I say, well, you know, what is your problem, Richard? You know, what is the problem? I mean, you look at this season. You look at the words he uses. He says, he uses the word distress. I'm in a season of grief. I'm in a spirit, in a season of sorrow. I'm in a season of sighing. My strength has failed me in this season. My body is wasted away in this season of my life. And I've become a reproach. The relationships that I had with my neighbors, the relationships that I had with my acquaintances, they've changed in a negative sense. I'm an object of dread even to my acquaintances. And people are fleeing from me, and I'm forgotten. People have forgotten who I am. People have forgotten me. I'm out of their mind. It's just like I'm dead. I'm broken, he says. And people are slandering me. In terrors on every side, and there are people scheming to take away my life. And I ask the question this morning of you, what is the season that you're going through? Because I want you to notice what he says. In spite of this season, in spite of the adversity that I'm going through, he says in verse 14, "But as for me, I trust in thee, O Lord." There may be grief, there may be distress, there may be anxiety, there may be all these things coming against me, slander, you just name it. But I'm going to do this. One thing, he says, I'm going to put my trust in God. In you, O Lord, I trust. And I'm going to say this, you are my God. You are my God. And my times, this very season, is in your hands. Now, gang, I tell you, we get great comfort from this because you know what? When I think about my times, my season, when I think about a season that David is going through here, he is saying, listen, my times are not in my hands. They're not in my family's hands. They're not in my spouse. They're not in my employer's hands. They're not in my doctor's hands. They're not in my preacher's hands. They're in no hands but you. And they're not even in the enemy's hands. Do you understand that? The seasons you go through. Listen, we like to blame the devil for everything. Well, just everything. But I want to tell you, enemy can't touch you unless God grants permission. These times, these seasons, the distress or the things that are going on, he says emphatically, my times are in your hands. And instead of walking in the grumbling and in the fear and the complaining and in the worry and the anxiety, what we want to do is respond with great trust because he is our God. There is no other. And folks, I just want to tell you, I'd rather my season be in his hand than anybody else's. Amen. Anybody else's. I think that when I begin to speak this kind of word into my life, when I begin to believe it and walk in agreement with it, do you know the situations don't change, but you know what does? My heart changes, my mind changes, everything within me changes. And the circumstances may be the same next week, but one of the things that I'm confident in is that if I trust in him and I'm proclaiming he is Lord and my God and I'm submitting to the hand of God, then I'm submitting to his sovereign work in my life. And I know that he's fashioning and he's doing something very special. I want you to turn to Job, if you would, for just a moment. Job chapter 1. I want you to notice that when you look at this man who is blameless, upright, fearing God, turning away from evil, isn't that interesting that God would say something about a man like that before the cross? This guy was blameless. He turned away from evil. Rich guy, had a lot of things going for him. Big family. God had favored him. And the scripture speaks of Satan coming along to say, hey, let me at him and he'll curse you and die. And God allows it. God allows him to be sifted. And do you remember when God told Peter, he said, listen, the enemy, Satan, has demanded for me to allow you to be sifted. And I'm going to pray for you. You're going to be sifted, Peter. Job, you're going to be sifted. Gang, sometimes we're sifted through these circumstances. But don't you ever think that this enemy can do one thing apart from God. Not one thing. So when I look at this passage, he loses everything. He loses his children. He loses his possessions. He loses the 7,000 sheep, the 3,000 camel, the 500 yoke of oxen, the 500 female donkeys. And do you know what he does? I just tell you what he does. He applies this psalm long before this psalm is written. Notice what he says. Job, in verse 20, arose, he tore his robe, he shaved his head, he fell to the ground, and what did he do? He worshiped his God, and he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, naked I shall return there, and the Lord gave and the Lord has taken away, blessed be the name of the Lord. And through all this, Job did not sin, nor did he blame God. Nor did he blame God. No blame. And then one day when he loses his health, and it's looking horrible and miserable, a sight that was horrifying to any eye. His wife would say to him in chapter 2, said, why don't you just curse God and die? Verse 9. And in verse 10, he says, you speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God and not accept adversity? In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. Do you notice? No blame. No anger. No grumbling. At least as far as we could see. No complaining. Worship. Why? Because God's his God. Because he knows God is sovereign. And he knows that this season is in his God's hands. It is not in his hand. He has nothing he can do, folks. There's nothing he can do about it. Nothing in his strength. Here's a guy that could throw money at stuff. I mean, he could fix it. He could make it. He's probably this guy. He's probably a guy, type A kind of guy, you know, just in control. He has no control. He's lost all control. And so what does he do? He submits to his God, who he knows He is ultimately in control of his life and in this season. When I think about the season that I've been through, the seasons that we all go through, I can always say, Lord, I'm going to trust you. You're my God, and I'm submitting to your sovereign work in my life. My time, this time, is in your hand. Or I could worry about it, grumble about it, fear about it, which is usually what I do first. Do you? Can you relate to that? We can relate to that, can't we? And you know, I think that when I look at this passage of Scripture and I think about David's response, I say, you know, God, I want to respond that way. Turn to Daniel chapter 2, if you would. Daniel chapter 2. Daniel understood that the times and seasons were in the hand of God and that God controlled the times and seasons of our lives. He says in verse 20, let the name of God be blessed forever and ever, for wisdom and power belong to him. Daniel 2, 21. And it is he, watch this, who changes the times. Now the word times in the Hebrew in both Psalm 31 and in Daniel is, it just means the moment. Whatever moment you're in is your time. It's times. As you live, as you breathe, these are your times. And then the word epochs here, he says the times and the epochs, and that is a season. The seasons, not only the times, but the seasons. He changes those things. He'll even remove kings and he'll establish kings. He'll give wisdom to wise men and knowledge to men of understanding. Why do you think you need wisdom? I need wisdom so I might respond properly through the times and the epochs of my life. And he'll give you wisdom. He'll give you what you need to walk through these times. And he says, it is he who reveals the profound and hidden things. He knows what's in the darkness. And the light dwells with him. To thee, O God of my fathers, I give thanks and praise. Watch this. For you have given me wisdom and power, and even now you have made known to me what we requested of thee. You have answered my prayer. Amen. You've answered it. We've asked and you've answered. And you change these times and you change these seasons. And whatever you're going through today, whatever the season you're in, I want to tell you, God's a God who'll change it just like that. Boy, if we look back over our lives, we can see that, can't we? We think that we go through stuff that we just can't bear anymore, and all of a sudden God comes along, changes it all in a moment. What a great God. Question is, if he doesn't choose to change the circumstance, will I continue to trust him? Will I continue to proclaim that he's my God? Will I continue to proclaim that my times, this season, is in his hands? The season that I'm going through, the season our marriage is going through, the season our finances are going through, they are in his hands. Folks, I'll say it again, don't want to be in anybody's hands but his. Anybody's hands but his. As I think about this season of my own life, I realize that I have let the distractions of this season to choke out the awe and the wonder of who God is and what he does on a regular basis. A number of years ago, 6 or 7 years ago, I was having lunch with my father in a restaurant in New Orleans. And it was just me and him. And I think Jeremy was with us. He was a little bit younger. We were talking about life. We were talking about things. You know, as you do when you grow older with your father. And I started weeping. And he says, "Well, what's wrong?" And I just said, "It's just so good. Life is just so good." And I expressed to him just the awe and the wonder of what God was doing, even back then in Cottonwood. And how God was sending hungry people. And how God was moving us on. And he was edging us on. And people were saying yes to him. Even before we even thought the word yes. And I can remember thinking in those days, as I thought about these days, is that, Mike, have you lost the wonder of who God is and what he's doing on a regular basis in your life? Listen, pastoring Cottonwood is a great job. I get to see things happen every week in people's lives. Every week, God is moving. I mean, you know, in our church life, in church experience, it says a staff person's a pastor. Yeah, I deal with stuff and I deal with people's problems. But folks, we're in a place that we walk in unity, we walk in oneness. God has protected us through the years, through all the changes that have come. And, you know, every week I get to see wonderful things. And I'm being convicted in these days because I think I'm losing the wonder of it. It's become commonplace. The sacred being trampled upon because I've lost the awe or the wonder of what God does in people's lives. And I thought, God, I want that back. I want that back. Turn to John chapter 5 with me. John chapter 5. Notice what Jesus says about the work of the Father. Verse 19, John 5, 19. See, the question I'm asking, has my relationship with God become so familiar that it's lost the wonder? You know, marriages do that, don't they? Become so familiar that the honeymoon is over pretty quick. You heard that. We lose the wonder and the awe of what God has done in our lives as we've come together. And God doesn't want you to lose that. Matter of fact, He wants it to be better. And it's the same with His relationship. Notice what He says. Jesus therefore answered and saying to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of Himself unless it is something He sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows Him all things that He Himself is doing. And greater works than these He will show Him. Why? So that you may marvel. Do you know that God wants to show you greater things so that you will walk this life marveling at the grace, marveling at the power, marveling at the wonder of our mighty God, of what He does and who He is in our lives? And there's some of you in here that have lost the marvel. You've lost it. And folks, we got to get that back. We got to get it back. This wonder and this awe of who God is. And not allowing it ever to become familiar. And that's what happens. It happens in our lives. And I want to tell you, God doesn't want that to happen in your life. Whether it's your marriage, whether it's church life experience, whether it's relationship with Him. I liken it to leaving your first love. We see this in the church of Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2. Go on and turn there. Revelation chapter 2. Notice this church, a busy church, a good church. I mean, Jesus is saying some very good things about them. Notice, verse 2, I know your deeds, your toil, your perseverance, and you don't endure evil men. You don't put up with them. You put to test those who call themselves apostles, and they're not, and you found them to be false. And you have perseverance, and you've endured for my name's sake, and you've not grown weary. Pretty good, huh? Pretty good church. But this is what he says. He says, but I've had this against you, this one thing against you. You have left your first love. You have lost the wonder of who I am. In all of your perseverance, in all of your toil, in all of you choosing not to be weary, you've missed me in that you've lost the awe. You've lost the wonder. You remember where you have fallen and you repent. You notice he's not saying to repent of immorality here. He's not saying to repent of your unforgiveness or your anger. He's not telling you to repent of any gross sin or negligence of your life. What he's saying is you repent of leaving your first love with me. You repent of that. I mean, how often do we become familiar with people and we lose the awe of relationship and we lose the awe of relationship with God? Notice, he says, if you'll do this, if you'll repent, then you know what? You're going to be blessed. But if you don't repent, I'm going to come to you and I'm going to remove your lampstand out of its place. I'm going to remove your influence in the community. I'm going to remove your influence as a church. Yeah, you might still be a church, but you will not have the influence because you've left your first love. He says, remember where you've fallen and do the first things. So, well, what are the first things? I'm going to tell you, the first thing, Exodus chapter 20, verse 1, make sure there's no other gods before you. That's the first thing. Isn't it interesting? That's the first thing God would say when he's talking about his commands. And isn't it so that when we get distracted, we run after everything but God? We run after other gods. We run after something else that we think is going to fulfill us that only God can fulfill. And so what we do is we run after the gods of this world. And you know what? The first thing is, what I do, I'm to run after God. Listen, when you first came to Christ, remember that? Boy, there was an awe and a wonder, wasn't it? Listen, folks, the reason why it became familiar is because God moved on. So I want to move you on in my relationship with you. I want to make it better so you'll never lose the wonder and the awe. God moved and you didn't move with Him. God moved and you didn't move with Him. And that's why it's become familiar, and that's why it's become stale, and that's why it's become plain. And yet God comes along and says, listen, don't lose the marvel. Don't lose the wonder. Do the first things first. And first things first is God first in everything that I do. He becomes that centerpiece that we prayed about a moment ago. You know, another first thing is that I find that we have a hard time doing as we move on in our Christian walk, to be thankful and grateful and to stay thankful and grateful even when the circumstances change in a negative sense. Come on, think about it. Boy, when we got delivered, when we got saved, thank you, God. Thank you. Well, what happened to the thank yous? What happened to the gratefulness? Why have we forgotten what God has done? Why have we forgotten who He is in our lives and that He is a wonderful God full of awe? I want to ask you, have you neglected in the hard seasons of your life, have you neglected the Lord in such a way that you have lost the awe and wonder of who God is and what He does on a regular basis? Turn to Psalm 139. Psalm 139, verse 1. This is God first. Notice what the psalmist says about God. O Lord, 139, verse 1. O Lord, You've searched me and You've known me. You know when I sit down, when I rise up, and You understand my thoughts from afar. Isn't that interesting? That God is such a great God that every one of us, God knows. He knows your thoughts. He knows what you're thinking. He knows what you're doing. He knows what you're speaking. He knows what you're saying. He knows everything. He scrutinizes it. He says He knows it. And I think that what's so much more phenomenal than Him just knowing my thoughts is that He still loves me. He still loves me. Of all the things that I think about in this world, in this life, that are contrary to the work of God and the will of God and the holiness of God. And He still loves us. He still cries out for us. He still runs after us. He says, You scrutinize my path and my laying down. And You are intimately acquainted with all my ways. Even before there's a word on my tongue, You know it all. You've enclosed me behind and before, and You laid Your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is too high. I can't even attain to that thought. But it is so wonderful and so awesome and full of awe of Your nature and of who You are. That this psalmist could say, oh God, I'm still wondering after all these years. I'm still in awe of You. Where can I go from Your spirit? Or where can I flee from Your presence? If I ascend to heaven, You're there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, You're there. If I take the wings of the dawn, I dwell in the remotest part of the sea. Even Your hand will lead me, and Thy right hand will lay hold of me. If I say, surely the darkness is going to overwhelm me. This season of my life is going to overwhelm me. And the light around me is going to be night and dark. But even the darkness is not dark to You. And the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are alike to You. You form my inward parts. You weave me in my mother's womb. I give thanks to You because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful. Here it is again. Wonderful are Your works. And my soul knows it very well. My soul knows it. You are a wonderful God. You are an awesome God. I am in awe of You. I want to ask you, when's the last time you have consistently spoke of that and have felt of that? Or have you been so distracted that it's choked your awe and your wonder for God? It's just choked it out. See, I believe this is the total essence of seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. You never lose the awe, folks. I want to tell you, if you do that with God and you do that in your marriage, you know, I mean, guys, wouldn't it be great if your wife never lost the awe and the wonder of you? Wives, wouldn't that be great? You know, he's never lost the wonder. never lost the awe. Why does it have to be that way? We have this living God who knows all things, this wonderful, awesome God living right smack dab in the middle of our lives. There should be no excuse. Have you lost the awe? Have you lost the wonder? I want you to bow with me in prayer. Would you do that?
What I'd like to do right now is ask you two questions. Are you going through a season in your life right now that you've not placed in the hands of God? This season that you're in is a rough season. It's a tough season. Some things you don't understand. Well, what I want to do this morning, as I did earlier in the first service, if that's you, I'm going to pray for you. If one of these things resonated in your life, number one, that this season has been tough and I've not been submitting to Him. And the second thing is that I've let the distractions of the hard seasons choke out the awe and wonder of who God is. I've left my first love. So you don't understand my season. You don't understand my times. No, but God does. He wants to minister life to you right now. Wants to show you His way. Wants to move. These two things have resonated with me this morning. And I'm submitting to His hand right now. Right now. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I want to praise You that You have spoken somehow, in some way, in this time. For those that are going through a season that might be dry, that might be difficult, that today is a morning, today is a day where they're submitting this season into Your hands, into Your life. That right now, they would say, and I'm asking you to do this right now in your spirit, as for me, I trust in You. Just say that. As for me, I trust in You. You are my God. My times, this season, this very moment that we're going through is in Your hands. Father, I pray with that statement that, Lord, that You would flow with the Spirit of God into their lives. And Father, that You'd push out the worry. You'd push out the anxiety. You'd push out the anger. And that, Father, You'd replace it with the love and the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that You would remove that right now in their lives. I pray, Father, that whether it is a good season or a difficult season, that their hearts would remain the same, totally in peace. Not that there's not going to be a struggle of faith, but that, Father, that we'd overcome. And I pray for overcomers today. If you're at this altar today because some way this whole thought of losing the awe and wonder has spoken into you, and you might be here today with that, I want to just ask you in your spirit just to confess to God, Lord, I've lost the wonder. I've lost the awe. I've left the first love. And today I want to do the first things. You first, with a thankful and grateful heart. Because, Lord, in You there's always something to marvel about. Father, I pray that You'd awaken everyone on their knees this morning. That You'd awaken the wonder of our great God. The wonder and the awe of who You are. And that we never lose it, Lord. We never lose it. Father, perhaps there's someone in this place that has never had the awe or the wonder. And Father, I would say that probably they've never come to know You if they've never been in awe of You. And I'm asking, Lord, in Jesus' name, that You'd birth within them today that conviction that they would respond, Lord, to Your word and to Your life for them to come. And Lord, I want to thank You for life change today. I thank You for life change in their lives, in their marriages, in their jobs, in their homes, in church life. I thank You and bless You. May Your Spirit rest upon them in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Cottonwood is located 3 miles east of Dublin on Highway 6. For more information on the ministries of Cottonwood or to obtain a copy of today's message, please call us at 254-445-2929. Or you can visit us on the web at www.cottonwoodtx.com.